God, we give you thanks. We praise your name. We owe you our lives. We thank you for coming to us as a humbling king, a king that serves, a king that protects, a king that heals, but a shepherd who leads, a shepherd who sets an example, but also a shepherd that calls his sheep as friends. Father, forgive us where we fall short. And your blood has covered the gap. It is in the name of Jesus that I pray. Amen. Amen. Good morning, everybody. He is risen. Awesome. One quick announcement before we begin today. Our missionary, Brennis, one of our elders, we support a church in Haiti, and he is there right now. He sent me some photos this morning at 6 in the morning. They have some baptisms, and that's their children. Easter service there this morning as well. So let's give him a shout, applause for Brennis, who is in Haiti right now, doing some work over there. It's been a long-standing ministry and church that we support. So that's pretty much the only announcements I have today. Other than that, make sure you grab a flyer on your way out this morning to find out more about our church. But we have been going through the book of Romans. If you are new to church, if you have a Bible, turn it to book of Romans chapter 15. If you are new to church, there's a Bible right on the aisles there. If you have your phones, go ahead and turn that off or put on silent. So we've been going through the book of Romans. And I say this almost every Sunday. The Bible has how many books? 66 books. That's right. How many different authors? 40. You all are failing. No, I was kidding. 66 books, 40 different authors. It has two parts, Old Testament and
New Testament.
New Testament. All right, very good. For the first 100 year of Christianity, they didn't have a Bible. So they have to flip through the Torah, the Tanakh, to talk about Jesus, the prophecies of Jesus. How did this Jesus make sense to anybody? And they realized the life, the death, and the burial, the resurrection of Jesus was a miracle. And it talks about it in the book of Romans. It explains the mystery of Jesus, the history of Jesus, the connection of Jesus and Judaism, the fulfillment of God's plan for humanity through Jesus, all written in the book of Romans. From a human standpoint, his lineage, let's list it up, Ben. From a human standpoint, Jesus' lineage can be traced back to 6,000 years, all the way to Abraham. But from a spiritual standpoint, he was with God, and he was what was God in the beginning. And that's the mystery of Jesus. The way he lived and died was connected to all of the Jewish festivals. The lamb, the bread, the lights, the city on the hill, the Passover meal, and the cross. There are more manuscripts about Jesus than any human being ever walked the face of the earth. And that's only covering 3 years of his life. More than any human being ever walked the face of the earth, more manuscripts about Jesus. There were eyewitnesses that wrote down what they heard and saw. People who walked and talked and ate with Jesus. People who tended his body after he was crucified on the cross. Why do I believe in Jesus? Because everything written in here in the New Testament matches with the Old Testament, and it was written within the first 30 years after his resurrection. Within the first 30 years. Why do I believe in Jesus? He's the only person in history to conquer but have no army. To rule but have no kingdom. To be the most well-known, influential human in history. Without TikTok or Instagram. He did not hire a publicist, a marketing company, or a personal assistant. Yet, people knew who he was. They wrote it down. And they talked about it. I believe in Jesus because he is the Son of God. He is the Savior of the world. He did exactly what he said he was going to do. And it happened exactly the way that he talked and even predicted how he was going to do it. He rose from the dead. People saw it. They talked about it. They wrote it down and spread like wildfire. He did all this for one reason and one reason only. So you and I can have true joy in life. Complete peace with God and hope in eternity. He did this for you and I. Amen. He is risen. Let's stand as we read God's word together. John 3, chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world. Let's read it with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. The word of the Lord, amen. Please be seated. If you guys can sit on the floor, so face this way. So you guys sit on the floor and face this, or you can sit and step and face this way. For God so loved the world that he did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save it. Political parties do not give us eternal life. Money and philosophy do not give us eternal life. Dressing up and showing up on Easter Sunday morning, you look great, by the way. Myself included. I even took a shower. Even that, it does not give me eternal life. Only Jesus gives us eternal life. Amen? Amen. But sometimes we wish life was different. Don't we? Sometimes we wonder, if Jesus resurrected from the dead and he saved us from the world, why are there still bad things happening? Why life seems unfair sometimes? Why this? Why that? And we feel like we've been cheated by life. Right? I love sound and speakers and sound systems, like surround sounds. My wife often makes fun of me when I would buy a new sound system. I would spend all night just tweaking it, making it just right. I know how to set up speakers to where the sound can travel around the room. I do too. When I watch a good movie, I want to experience it. I have a man cave at home. Took away my wife's garage. One day I was driving in the Whole Foods right over here in Glades Row. A guy pulls up on the minivan, white minivan, which is sketchy, right? He pulls out the white minivan, waves me over. Kids, don't ever do that. Someone drives up in a white minivan, waves you over, don't go over, okay? But I went over. So I went over, and I said, what's going on? He said, man, listen, I'm on my way home. I have one set of speakers left in my van. I just want to get rid of it. The last one, I already made enough money for the day, so you want to just get it? I said, let me look at it. This is like the Asian in me that loves karaoke, right? I needed a new sound system for good karaoke's at home, right? So I said, sure, let me look at it. He opens the back of his van, kids, which is, don't do that, right? Don't go up to a guy with the white van, waves you over and open the back of the van. He tempted me with speakers. People are going to tempt you with candy, okay? Don't do that. So I said, hey, you know, I'll look at it. Open up this brand new box. And for some reason, those things are always shiny on the box, right? They put like a gloss in front of it, so it just captures your eyes right away. I said, well, okay, that looks kind of cool, right? It looks kind of cool. How much is it? Oh, $100. He said, well, it's usually worth about $350, but I'm on my way home. I need to get rid of it. That's my cost. At least just help me recoup my cost. $100. I said, sure. But I don't have any money on me. Oh, I'll wait here. Now, I didn't pick this up, right? I was like, you're late. You want to go home, but you want to sit here and wait for me to go get money out of the bank and come back and give you the money? That doesn't make sense, but I did it anyways, right? Don't follow a guy with the white van that waves you over and pulls out some speakers, okay? Don't do that. But anyways, I went, got my money, went back to Whole Foods parking lot, grabbed the speaker, went home, opened it up, and surely it was junk. Oh. It hurts my heart. Karaoke night was canceled. I called all my Asian friends and said, no party tonight. It breaks my heart. It's funny with a set of speakers, but sometimes in life we feel that way, don't we? A little cheated, a little slight. Why does this guy get that and I got this?
He scammed you?
He did scam me. And sometimes we think it's a promotion, right? We think we have good news coming our way, but our company is getting to relocate or downsize, and we have 2 weeks to clean our office. Sometimes we see someone who on their way to make it and overcoming their addiction, but somehow the addiction just grabs a hold of them and brings them back, and we end up disappointing of all the time and investments we have made into this person. Sometimes we see family members who are terminally ill and we can't do anything about it. And sometimes we felt like we dealt the wrong hand. And as a pastor, I hear enough stories. When you're overjoyed at the prospect of a new addition to your home, to the family, and you go to the doctor and there's no trace of a heartbeat or a loved one gone too soon. You feel like you've been dealt the wrong hand in life sometimes. And as I reflect on those things, I understand that's what we go through. But then those are the reason Jesus died on the cross. Those are the reason God sends his son, his only son, into the world to redeem the world, to save the world and not condemn it. Those are the reason why Jesus went to the cross, died and rose from the dead. For you and I. Because the sin happened, the human rebellion, the missing of the mark happen in life, that we live in this broken world. And I got to be truthful with you, sometimes it hurts. Right? Sometimes it hurts a lot, but that's not the way God intended it for us to live. God intended for us to live life and life to the fullest, to be with him, to be in the garden, to have no tears, no sickness, families together. God intended us for us to live in a way where we don't feel hurt in the pain of this world, but because of sin, rebellion. And the way God illustrated this is a curtain. It's an Old Testament law. Because sin happened into the world, in Exodus, God told the Israelites, make a curtain of blue, purple, and scarlet yarn, and finally twist the linen with cherubims woven into it, a skilled worker. Hang it with gold hooks on four posts of acacia wood. These are the finest wood imported from Egypt. Would overlay with gold and standing on four silver bases. Hang the curtain from the clasps and make the Ark of the Covenant behind the curtain. So there's a separation. The curtain will separate the holy to the place of the most holy. So they call it the holy place and the holiest of holies. So beyond the curtain is the holy place, and behind the curtain is the place of holies of holies. That is the separation between the Israelites, the people, and God. Because of sin, there's a separation between us and God. And he said, put this curtain there. But Sunday, it's coming. So during the crucifixion, they took Jesus 3 miles away from the temple where this curtain was. And listen to Matthew wrote. The people wrote this down, what they heard and saw. This is not a made-up story. This is not something they just put out of nowhere. These were historical events. This is what Matthew wrote. When Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtain split or torn in two from top to bottom. Oh, you know where I'm going with this. God, when Jesus died and took his last breath on the cross, when he says, it is finished, the curtain split from top to bottom. You know where I'm going with this? God made a way with us. This makes perfect sense why Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus was this curtain that split, that separates, that bring us together between us and God. Is this making sense so far? And I want all the ears of the skeptics, right? I want all of you guys who have doubts this morning. You're here because your wife dragged you here, or your husband dragged you here, or your friends dragged you here. I don't care who dragged you here, but I want you to hear this, okay? The way he lived, died, and rose from the dead aligned with an incredible amount of prophecies. He had to flee to Egypt at a young age. He had to ride on a donkey coming into Jerusalem. He had to put on a trial by Pilate. He had to be rejected by his own people. He had to be flogged or whipped 39 times, because the 40th times would have killed him. He had to replace Barabbas at the trial. He had to wear a crown of thorns. He had to be crucified on the Roman cross. He has to be crucified outside of the city. He had to be helped carrying a cross by someone else. He had to be offered vinegar to drink. He had to not have any broken bones in his body. He had to bury in a wealthy man's tomb, and he had to rise from the dead 3 days later. And the curtain had to split at the moment he died on the cross, from top to bottom, 3 miles away. If Jesus made one wrong move, I want you to think about this for a second. If Jesus was a fraud and he come up with this whole thing, if he made one wrong move, the whole thing would have been useless. One wrong move. One broken bone, if the donkey didn't exist, if the curtain never split, the curtain was the most guarded sacred place in the temple. No one can go in there except the high priest. And the curtain was made with wool woven together, 4 inches thick. No one is going to stand here and rip that curtain open. Like the guy that was sitting next to me on the couch, my church members, right? Next to me, that massive human being on the couch. Even him can't do that. There's no one that's strong enough that's going to break into the temple to climb to the top and split the curtain from top to bottom. It was a miracle. One wrong move by Jesus. None of this would have made sense. So they wrote, for God so loved the world that he gave one, his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him, it's not condemned. But the question still remains, why do I experience hurt and pain? Why do I get phone calls and say, Pastor New, the heartbeat wasn't there? Why do I meet with people and say, it's just not working out? I'm struggling. Why do I sit in front of people and they're checking themselves back into rehab facilities? Why do I pray over people as their loved one experiencing the kind of sickness that there's nothing they can do? Why children? Why cancer? We've been going through the book of Romans. First, the street of Rome, and then into our homes, onto the couch, at the table. Now today, into our hearts. We are ending the book of Romans today, and we're going to start on the book of Revelation. I hope you come back and hear about the book of Revelation. That will lead us into Christmas Eve service. Romans chapter 15. Let me open this so you can read. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Understand who wrote this. At the beginning of the book of Romans, when we started 6 months ago, this is not an encouraging letter when you receive from Paul. Paul was talking about Jesus, which was a huge surprise to everyone. Paul was a Jew, part of the Sanhedrin. He hated Christians. Paul used to go from house to house, open the doors of a Christian home, drag them out on the street, and crucify them. Paul was responsible for the first recorded Christian martyrdom, Stephen. This was not a letter you want to get from Paul or from this person. This was Paul. And after he became a Christian on his way to Damascus, things didn't get any better for him. He was rejected by his friends, ruled out of the synagogue. And these are things that was recorded about him in Corinthians. This is Paul after when he became a Christian. I'm more. I have worked much harder. I've been imprisoned more frequently, been flogged more severely, and been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received the juice of the 40 lashes minus one. That means Jesus received it one time and went to the cross. He received it how many times? 5 times. What Jesus went through. Just never made it to the cross. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was pelted with stones. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles. In danger with the city, in danger with the country, in danger with at sea, and in danger from false believers. I have labor and toil and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face the daily pressure of my concern for all the churches. This was the guy who wrote, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Does that sound like someone who would sit down and write those things? No. The point to you, the resurrection did not erase what's happening in this world. But the resurrection of Jesus split the curtain from top to bottom. The resurrection didn't make all the problems that you're experiencing, what I experience, or the phone calls that I get. It does not take away any of that. What the resurrection does, it makes the other side achievable. What the resurrection did was splits the curtain and makes the other side available. What the resurrection did as is split the curtain makes the other side obtainable and accessible for you and I. And that's the beauty of the curtain splitting from top to bottom. Same way with Paul and I myself. I have joy and peace because I know this is not the end. Because the end, it's on the other side of that made available by Jesus Christ. I have joy and peace because I'm not forever separated from God. I have joy and peace because I know my depression, my loved ones, the sickness, the cancer, all the phone calls I get is not the end, but the healings is on the other side. God says he will wipe every tear from their eyes. I hope you come back for the series of Revelation. My hope, it's not in this side of the curtain, but my hope, it's in Jesus. Because what's behind here, it's obtainable. My hope, it's not in the empty boxes of the speakers or the shiny of the attraction of how new it looks. My hope is in Jesus. My hope is not in what he said or she said. My hope is not whoever sits in the White House in Washington. My hope is in Jesus Christ. The curtain made the other side available, achievable, accessible, obtainable. For you and I, that same person wrote, may the God of hope fills you with all joy and peace as you trust him. In 2009, my wife and I bought our first home. Seems like forever ago, right? So in 2009, we bought our first home, and it's excited. Across the street from Town Center Mall, something about owning a home, it's the sprinklers, right? Yeah. Does that ever end in your life or no? Does the sprinklers ever end? Does it ever get, you're just done with sprinklers? But that's why they invented artificial grass, I guess, huh? But something always breaks, right? When you own a home, it just never ends. It's always something. I have a friend who I talk to every day. Every day we talk. It doesn't matter if it's 7 in the morning, well, he doesn't pick up my phone call at 7 in the morning. He puts me on block until 7:30. But we try to connect every single day. And it seems like every time I talk to him, he's working on his house for the last whatever years we've known each other. 7 every day. Hey, what are you doing? I'm doing this. What are you doing? I'm putting this up. I'm cleaning this. I'm rebuilding this. Same way with me. Every time I go home, it's like one more thing to do at home. That's what happens when you own a house. You know how exciting it is to own a house, right? Especially when you're... you're your wife, and you're like, man, this is our home. This is our first home. We're excited. All right, we're looking to build the family there and color it the way we want to. And then the roof. Roof seems to always leak, doesn't it? You buy a house, and the inspection was good, and you live there for a month, and the roof start leaking. But still, the excitement of starting a family in the home you just bought. We brought home our first son, Avery, to that new home across the street from Town Center Mall. We opened up our door a lot to people. There were people who needed prayers. There were people who needed just a place to stay for the night. There were kids who needed a meal. There were couples who needed just someone to talk to, a sounding board. And it doesn't matter the time of the day, or it doesn't matter how messy our home was. It's always open. We even had people stay there for months for free. Sometimes I walk out and say, oh, you're here still. I thought you were moving out already. But they're still there. But you feel the excitement of owning a home. That was in 2009. In 2010, I was unexpectedly fired from the job I love.
What job was it?
And it seems like you can get angry with God, right? It seems like you've been dealt with the wrong hands, right? This excitement, this home across the street from Town Center Mall, it was perfect for us. It was a short drive to the place we were working. But I was unexpectedly fired from my job. And then we brought home our second son. So we sold our home because we needed to downsize. to save money. So we sold our home and moved to an apartment right down the street from here. But the entire time, we never lost sight of God. We struggle and hustle and make ends meet, but we never lose sight of the Lord. We look at it as a time to simplify our life a little bit, to downsize, to grow, to trust God even more. And it was time to bring home our third child. It was Ari. And we were in this two-bedroom apartment, bringing home a third child. Now that makes our family of five. Not enough space. And God sent us an angel. And we bought our second home. It wasn't even on the market. We just happened to drive by it. And we saw the phone number. We called. And God sends it an angel and say, here, pay me back whenever you can. Just move your family in. We moved in within 48 hours. 48 hours. Offer, close, everything. That second photo was that Sunday. Our boxes are still there, and we went on vacation. We didn't have any money. We went on vacation. This home is 1.5 miles from here. So I get to drive back and forth to church. A year later, after buying that home, God called me to lead this church. The very church that I lost my job 8 years ago. Right here. And then COVID happened. Oh, there were 50 of us, but we were trusting God. That God is going to make it happen. We trusted God. We never lost sight of God. And COVID happened and went to zero. But we trusted God and we opened it back up. And guys, look. If you sit, just turn around for a second. Just look. This was 50 people a year and a half ago. Just look. How can you not trust God? Amen. This was 50 people when we opened it back up after COVID a year and a half ago. We trusted God. Our hope is in Jesus Christ. Doesn't matter, regardless of what our life circumstances, it's because He has split that curtain from top to bottom. There's no more curtain between us and God. So Paul, I reflect these words. He says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And sometimes you felt like life had dealt you with the wrong hand. That's because we still live on this side of the curtain. But what's on the other side is accessible, achievable, available through Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, who rose from the dead. He is risen. Amen. He is risen. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son. And whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And God sent His Son into the world, not to condemn the world, but to save it. You're forgiven. You're loved. You're special to the God who made this available. Has the band come forward? We're going to end the book of Romans today and start Revelation. We've been ending our services with a poem every Sunday. Today we're going to be reading from Psalm 46 that David sang earlier. God, it's our refuge and our strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad in the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at the break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice and the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us, the God of Jacob, of our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolation he has brought on the earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bows and shatters the spears. He burns the shields with fire. He says, be still and know that I'm God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob. It's our fortress. The word of the Lord. Amen. Because he lives, we can face tomorrow. And if that's you this morning, if you never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, today could be your day. We have a baptistry right here. We have change of clothes for you. May today be the day that it changes your life and say, I want to begin my journey so that beyond the curtain, it's accessible, available, obtainable because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But if life been beating you down a little bit and you felt like you've been dealt the wrong hands, our elders will be up here to pray with you. But if you have a decision to make this morning, I'll be here. If you need to make a decision for Jesus for the first time, I'll be right here waiting for you. And our elders will be up here to pray with you, for those who are in need. But don't leave today without starting your life over with God. Because he lives. Amen. Everyone hold up your crosses. If you don't have one, raise your hand. We'll give you one. Let's hold them up. In Numbers chapter 6. When the nation of Israel began to go out, in whether to battle or to travel, or on their way to establish their own tribes, it is at the request of the high priest would bless them. And Jesus is our high priest. And the high priest would say this in Numbers chapter 6, verse 24, as I bless you, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. God bless you.